A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight we are going to do the official fiscal puja offerings. So let us develop the sadha virya, then let us gather in front to have the fiscal puja offering. We will offer all the items that are on the altar table so that everybody can get to partake. Come together, form a circle. Yes, gather here, then go around, then somebody end up here. Oh, 这个没有一个 tray 啊。哦，没有 tray。哦，OK，不用紧，可以用上面的吗？水果呢？可以。那用这边，我拿得到，我拿得到。哦，fix 啊。OK，可以啊。哦，never mind 了，very difficult。那一个拿了，这样一个拿。哦，这三个放着了，这三个放着。我们 offer the rest of the item 给你。等下我点这个 offer 了，你们拿蜡烛两个，then all the fruits and flower，then the candle I will together with this offer 了，OK，let us rejoice 啊。Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, start with the candle. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, oh, okay. Do, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, we will now offer the rest of the item. Eh? Sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 1. Or maybe we will get Ingby to help us administer the precept also. But I will finish off the puja first. After that, only we administer the precept. Those who take 5, you chant until 5. But those who take 8, you chant until 8. But now we will go for the normal chanting book where we recite the puja offering of all the items so that we understand the significance of all this puja offering. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ abhivādeme Svakkhāto Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasangho Sanghaṃ Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammāsambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato sammāsambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sammāsambuddhassa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pāṇātipātā Vīramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi Ādīnādānā Vīramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi Āmeṣu Micchācārā Sūrāmeraya Sikkhāpadaṃ Now you will chant the Padipa Puja onward. All the significance of all this offering of light, offering of perfume, offering of flowers, an offering of all the other puja items, like water, fruits, and food. Then after that, we will invoke the aspiration. Okay, we will start with Padipa Puja, offering of light. Kanna sarappa ditena ditena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambedang pujayami tamonodang. I will read the English translation so that the first offering you develop the understanding. Padipaha puja means offering of light to the Triple Gem or to the Buddha, with lights brightly shining, abolishing this gloom. I adore the enlightened one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Then we will chant the offering of perfume smoke. Ganna sarapara yotena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang puja bhajana motamang. The English translation, with perfume incense made from fragrant substance, I honored the exalted one, worthy of respect, who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Then we will chant the offering of flowers. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujaye ami munindasa siri pada sarorohe jemi bedang kusumena nena punena matena ce hotu mokang pamila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati inasabakwang. The English translation. This mass of flower, fresh hue, fragrant and of choice, I offered at the sacred lotus-like feet of the noble sage. I offer the Lord Buddha these flowers. May this virtue aid in my emancipation. Our body undergo decay, even as this flower must fade. Then offering of water. Adiva setu no bante paniyang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. This one, can we recite the English translation together? O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this water as an offering to Thee, out of great compassion for us. So the most important sentence is out of great compassion for us, which is Patiga Hatu Muttamang. Then offering of fruits. Adiva Svetu No Bante Pale Parika Pitang Anukampang Apadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept these fruits as an offering to Thee, out of great compassion for us all. Then offering of fruit. Adiva Setu No Bante Bojanang Parika Pitang Anu Kampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Motamang. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this food as an offering to Thee, out of great compassion for us all. Okay, now you will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Of significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, what we will do is the 8th precept tomorrow only we start to take. Well, today all of us has revert back to 5 precept because of the dinner offering by, who was the sister that offer? Sister Joey. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now I will get Sister Envy to help us do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book, the same one, the simple version. Yeah, Envy. Yeah.
Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrines of the King of Sages, which gives heavens and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhammasavana kalo ayam badanta Dhammasavana kalo ayam badanta Dhammasavana kalo
Namo tassa
bhagavato
arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti pe so bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno to lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati sat Ta deva manusanang buddho bhagavate. Swagato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko akaliko ehi paseko Oppanayiko pajyatang veditabo innohete. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Sanggo yaya patipanno bhagavato sakka sanggo samici patipanno bhagavato sakka sanggo yaditang chattari risayukkani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anadharikaraneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajama. Batang Pajami. Damang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. So you look at the program, day one, we have finished our evening, supposed to be evening chanting, but we changed to what we call the puja offering plus our usual chanting. So now we still have 5 minutes, but just nice. 6:45 to 7:15, now it's only 7:10. What I have to do is I have to catch up a bit. Since earlier on you all have done the meditation, Now we will skip the meditation and use it for Dhamma sharing. We will start off with the official sharing from this Heart Sutta book version 2, or second edition that we have been using. So turn to page. I have to read to you. Page 1 is the cover page. Heart Sutta, come meditation classes, short notes, compiled from the weekly Sunday Heart Sutta, come meditation class conducted by me at Wu Ping Ching Se, a Mahayana Vihara. Address is at number 4, Jalan 8, stroke 11, PJ, Selangor. Okay, so this book that you all are having is for free distribution to non-Muslim only. So donated by Kaya Mitra Fund of Brother Teo. So we have the first edition printed on the 19th of February 2015. Our latest second edition with all the proper content and subheading added, dated 8th of March 2020, which was published during the MCO. MCO start, I think, around that time. Either 1st of March or 31st of March, I forgot already. Anyway, it is meant to be. That's how Po Ching was able to benefit, because we have the book. Then we started it. So now you look at the table of content compared to the first edition. All this table of content don't have the subheading. The 1.1, 1.2, all those things. So this subheading was prepared and extracted by all the kamita that help out to compile them. And I should express our gratitude and thanks to Sister Padmasri, because she spent a lot of time doing up all this, including the appendix at the back, where you can search more easily. I think Brother Teo must have also helped her. So we should thank them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with all this heading and title, especially Theravada tradition and some Mahayana tradition, you will like it, because all the subheading are important Dhamma that you need to understand, and they are all very well listed. Then after that, we have a total of 41 lessons. Then we have the appendix. Appendix 1, the hearts of Prajna Paramita Sutta, which is the Heart Sutta itself. So Polo Poro Mito Sing Ching is appendix 2, the Mandarin version. Then lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta and meditation class. So this one is also very important. That's why we add it in. Pure Land chanting, is it meditation and all these things. And understanding the essence, the essence of the Buddha's teaching on heedfulness. Sati, stabilizing the mind, which is sati, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Then pitfalls of thought-based meditation. Sati means mindfulness or awareness. Then a mind full of awareness is different from a mind full of thought. That's why the Pali word and the English equivalent, they differ. The Pali word is just sati, mindfulness, awareness. But the English translation of sati is not so good or not so accurate. You say mindfulness. So the word consists of a mind in fullness. But they never explain full of what? Understand? Your mind is full of thinking. That is the mundane mind. That is not sati. But you say your mind is in fullness, means fully aware, without thought. That is sati. So people take it for granted. When you talk about mindfulness, they assume it's sati. But they never inquire into that word. Mindfulness. Full of what? They never ask. That's why cultivator can become so gullible. You take everything as long as it's from the commentary, the scripture, or some authority. Krishnamurti call it authority. I mean somebody having that status to define or coin out the word, then you use them. But to be fair to these people, they tried their best based on their understanding. So all these words that came out, most of it can help and quite useful, but most of them I realize they lack the true understanding. That's why a lot of the equivalent English word, you have to really develop the cultivation to understand. Otherwise, there is no way. Because for me, when I started, I was asking the question, what is this word mindfulness? Mindfulness. Mindful of what? Nobody tell me until I heard Krishnamurti. Then he mentioned awareness. Then when I met my first Theravada tradition teacher, Ajahn Yantra, he taught me the daily mindfulness. Then when I did the daily mindfulness, then the sati came. Then I understand what that sati is. Yeah? I saw it in my awareness nature. Then I realized that one got no words on. That one is just aware. Then I realized Krishnamurti's word is correct. Yeah. But Eckhart used the word present. At least that word is better. Means when you are aware, you are within the moment. Understand? That present. Understand? Means the mind in that state of present. So understanding is very important. If you want to cultivate and progress, you need to have understanding. Okay? Then I will go on. Yeah? Sati, or pure awareness before the knowing. This is how I define it. I make use of one of these Krishnamurti's sharing. So this sharing by Krishnamurti is very good. So I make use of it. Then I explain the equivalent Dhamma words and understanding. Like, what is silent? What is awareness? Then choiceless awareness, which Krishnamurti like to use. Then listen attentively without thought. Yeah, of course, Sakaya Ditti, three evil roots, these are all our essential Dhamma. Then vigilant or awareness is not discipline or focused attention. This one is very good. This one is by J. Krishnamurti. And the meaning of what is Sakaya Ditti or self-delusion and how to see things as they are. Space between thought. Training the heedless or mundane thinking mind. Understanding the content of consciousness. Then you have the silent. How to silence the mundane mind to develop understanding. Awareness is not determination. Awareness is just that nature aware, finish. Then you have the awakening. The mystery of life unfold. Voluntary, involuntary, and spontaneous action. Check and question the thought, habitual tendency and memories, wisdom, understanding fully and completely. Then you have the 31 plane of existence, 10 Dhammarai, training the mind, appendix 6 is also very useful. Then appendix 6A was added. This one is very good. What is a trained mind and what is an untrained mind? Then how to train the mind. Important of sati to walk the path of Dhamma. Important advice to meditator or cultivator. Using the silent mind, sama sati. There are 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thought. All these are there. Then appendix 7 is the famous outcry by Sakyamuni Buddha after his enlightenment. The house builder. So Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. Then what I add in is appendix 8, Avijja Sutta. That is from our website. I put in the website. I also repeated it here. Then appendix 9 is the full chart to explain the 3 turnings and 12 modes of the 4 noble truths. Then now I will read to you the introduction. First edition dated February 2012. Sister Lee Seo-gek had in the year January 2012 invited Brother Teo to visit Wu Ping-Ching-se Vihara. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee requested Brother Teo to conduct this weekly Heart Sutta Cup meditation class at Wu Ping-Ching-se Vihara. The first Heart Sutta Cup meditation class commenced on the 12th of February 2012, which was 12 years ago. And it continued till the 19th of May 2013 for a period of about 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta Cup meditation classes. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo for editing before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta Cup meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta Cup meditation class's short note comes about. Many Kayamita who had attended the classes had found the short note very, very beneficial and rather useful. Hence the reason why they had requested that it be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive it later. So you all should thank all these Kayamita. I remember there were about 8 or 10 of them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then these short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutra teaching of the Mahayana tradition. Because Brad Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutra teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that the Dhamma practitioner and cultivator of the way can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Brother Teo had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand because it's only one teaching, all interconnected. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all of the other essential Dhamma or his other teaching are spin-off from it. It has always been Brother Teo's sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta meditation class short notes to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As these short notes were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing, as such, It may not be as complete compared to the recorded talk. Hence, it is hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. This one you only do if you have the interest. Otherwise, the Heart Sutta book is good enough. Okay? Like for those who are like curious, want to understand how we really do the sharing. But this one is not like the other books where they do the transcript word for word, verbatim of what I spoke, and they just do it from that transcript within the 2 hour or 1 hour, sometimes 3 hour. It can become a book. You can never find such a book. It's direct from the heart and share, and it become a book. And every one of these is so beautiful. So this Heart Sutta, when I share, it was not transcribed because it's too long, over 15 months old. And every session is 3 hours solid. You go and transcribe, I think you also will be very tired after you do the transcript. So luckily, Miss Lee that time got the condition, prepare the pointer form, short note. Then I only need condition to recall what I share. So the pointer initially was very crude. A lot of things, because I don't blame her, she cannot understand. But good enough, because it gave me the condition to recall what I share. So I edited it and I improved on it. As I do that, she also learned, she also improved. That's why the later short note pointer that she sent to me were much better. And it kept on improving until towards the later part. All were beautifully developed and done. So this is what you all should develop as understanding. Then for those who want to listen to the recording, you can download the talk from our website. The details are all there. I won't read. The second edition is more important. Second edition dated March 2020, which was about 5 years later. The reason for this second edition was mooted earlier to coincide with the need for a second reprint of the Heart Sutta book. Yes, the first reprint we almost exhausted giving it out. Then in doing so, we have included the following activity to help improve the readability of the book. Correct whatever printing error, spelling and grammar mistake detected in the first edition. Then since the first edition text is aligned to the colloquial speeches in the talk, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. Then useful subheading. This one is what we added. We should thank Pamasuri for doing all this. Useful subheading have been added to all the Heart Sutta classes listed in the table of content to help reader look for the topic that interests them more easily. Then Appendix 8 also added. Explanation of the Avijja Sutta, Sutta on Ignorance. Then the Trinity Triangle to understand cultivation has also been added. That Trinity Triangle was the one added by me. Then followed by the Four Circle Formation. At that time, I think I just briefly mentioned them. Hardly anybody understood until later. So by now, many people understand already. Then there is this acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Heart Sutta Meditation Classes Short Note, second edition, be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness or all those Dharma friends or Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Padmasri, who has personally taken out the initiative to prepare this second edition update for my editing. Bratium, Sister Engby, and Sister Sui for their very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Meditation Class Short Note Second Edition to have the courses and conditions to be printed for free distribution. Then, by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harms and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts, so that the world will be much more peaceful with greater harmony always. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who has donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So for those who are new, at least you know the history behind. So Dhamma is like that. Everything that cultivator or the way receive or benefit from, they come from Kayamitas before the sun. And all the great beings are your true Kayamitas. That's why during the Buddha's time, when Ananda asked the Buddha, because he thought he understood, he said, how beautiful and wonderful is it? Where the Buddha taught him the importance of Kayamitaship. He said, Kayamitaship is 50% of the holy life, means the spiritual training and life. The Buddha reprimanded him. He said, no, it is 100% of the holy life. Yeah. That's why you need Kayamita. And you read the Theravada Sutta in order to become at least a Sotapanna enlightened being. One of the prerequisites is what? Having Dhamma friend, understand? That is the prerequisite. You can go and Google and find out. In the early days, before I even decide to agree to come out, I must understand how I want to actually share and teach. That's why straight away I call it the Kayamita group. And I don't want to set up any society or what. I said, we are all Kayamita, no authority. Yeah? We are Dhamma friends that practice the Dhamma, cultivate the Dhamma. Some already have the Dhamma, some still don't have. But since we are Dhamma friends, we walk the path of Dhamma, we are here to share our understanding, to motivate, to counsel, yeah? To develop more and more wholesomeness so that this teaching can reach more and more living beings so that it can be a blessing to all. So Kayamitashi is very powerful. That's why you must try your very best and attempt to be a true Kayamita. You go and read our website. I got explain the attributes of Kayamita. If I have time, remind me, I'll read to you. Yeah? I have printed them. I think at one of the gathering, I actually share that. You go to the website and Google. Yeah? They are all there. Okay, now we start official. First Heart Sutta class. I need somebody to help me read, otherwise my throat will get into trouble. Ah, Manyuan volunteers. Adu. Manyuan, you read.
Short notes taken during the talk for sharing. Part 1, Introduction. 1.1, Definitions. Paramita, Sanskrit, crossover. In Mahayana Buddhism, paramita means the perfection or virtuous quality practiced by a bodhisattva in the course of his spiritual cultivation. Prashna, Sanskrit or Panya, Pali means wisdom. 1.2, the heart of Prajnaparamita Sutra. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, he illuminated the five khandhas or aggregates of form and mind and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, or they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation, or consciousness. No ears, no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind. No sights, sounds, smells, tastes, object of touch, or Dhamma. No view of the eyes up to and including no view of mind consciousness. And no ignorance or ending of ignorance up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way and no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajnaparamita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, Nirvana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambuddhi through reliance on Prajnaparamita. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this.
Okay, we recite together. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bohi swaha. Repeat two more times. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bohi swaha. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bohi swaha. Okay, this is the summary of what Heart Sutta is. Only so few words. But it's a prajna paramita. You know what is prajna or not? Wisdom. Paramita is perfection. Perfection of wisdom, the essence, is the Heart Sutta. Why is it so unique? Why is it so profound and so beautiful? Because Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, after long period of cultivation, he developed the penetrative understanding until the Sammasambuddha, they also recognized that he can summarize all of the perfection of wisdom into just these numbers of words that he has spoken. And this one is very beautiful, very profound. If you are cultivated all the way, you will rejoice. And everything about the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, they are all there. Yeah. So now I briefly explain, because there are some new people, otherwise I skip this one already. Because we have explained many times. If you want to know more, you can listen to the old recording. Huh? Anyway, I think for the benefit of the Singapore people and Cindy, I will go through it. So initially, he said, when Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating or practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas. You know what is the five skandhas, isn't it, by now? The five aggregates of form and mind. When he say he illuminated, in Mandarin is zhao jian, means it's like illuminate and realize that they are all empty. 照见无蕴皆空。You think he used a torchlight to illuminate? No, then what did he use? Her awareness nature, that one shine forth. Then he realized that they are all empty. Well, without his awareness nature, you cannot. This is your true mind, the silent mind, that can see things as they are, that can illuminate clearly. Sui, anybody you want to ask anything or what? Oh, Manjan's voice too small. Oh, okay, good feedback. Thank you. So we will change the mic and see. Anyway, I will explain. So he used the awareness nature to illuminate. That's why without the awareness nature, the true mind, sati, the stability of it, leading to heedfulness, you cannot awaken. You cannot understand. So this is how Kuan Yin realized. And then when he realized they are all empty, he crossed beyond what? Huh? Beyond what? Read. All suffering and? Means no more problem. Understand or not? Everything has been realized and understood. Then he told Sariputta what? Form does not differ from emptiness. And emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are the other aggregates of feeling, perception or cognition, formation or sankhara, and consciousness or vijnana. How many of you can comprehend this? Why did Kuan Yin Bodhisattva told Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Can you understand? If you cannot, you better put up your hand. Then I will explain. Good. Singha. What about the rest? Anybody want to try? Come. Explain. Anybody? Okay. Now you look at the word. Form does not differ from emptiness. Can you comprehend? Oh, this thing still here. Never mind, I write down. So what is form? Let's say, this solid cube or any of our external form, they are all form, that's how not. So this form, you must inquire. Why did Kuan Yin say, this form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from this form? Why? What is emptiness? Don't be gullible, no. The word emptiness, you must inquire, no. The scientists will challenge you. If you say space is empty, maybe they will agree. Understand? But if you tell that within our planet with the atmosphere, you say this is empty, we are nothing there. He say no, got air. Understand? And he can tell you how many percent oxygen, how many percent nitrogen, and how many percent rare gases. Well, they did the research, R&D, they can find out. So, empty of what? Emptiness has great meaning, very deep. Empty nature existence is true emptiness, understand? Means the wisdom that realize the profound meaning of emptiness. We stay in a conditioned world. Existential world, which is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. So this type of world has its own duality and existential truth within. But when it comes to understanding this, all those enlightened beings, they will know whatever that is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, is not a permanent, unchanging entity, understand? Not you. Not an other that you can say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No. Then if they are impermanent, dependent, originating, without atta, is there any reality? Just like the Heart Sutta realized, in true emptiness, there is no old age, sickness, and death, no birth. He no you, he no me. And Hui Ning realized, no mark, no mark of a self, no mark of others, and no mark of existence. Then like what I share with you all, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And this is the present moment, highest in life. No? And split second, that moment is dead and gone. No? The highest in life is the present moment, and it is so transient, understand? No? The moment you talk about it is gone. The next moment, another arises. So when you look at life, when you look at existence, that's why those who realize they know empty nature of existence. But ultimately, you cannot deny that since birth until now, all these things that you experience and go through happen. Understand not? But I ask you, is it real? Real in the sense that it happened. Understand not? But that moment I ask you, these are all? Past. You can only recall through what? Memory. And what is memory? Images, understand? Created by the mundane thinking, mundane consciousness. So where got reality? That's why I say, at any time after the cultivator realized and become enlightened, that was what happened to me in 1989. This form of mind can just die, no problem. He will not worry about anything. There is no reality. Understand not? He know you, he know me. And everything is just like my teacher say, mighty nature rolling by, following nature's law. You understand? That's why it's empty. But please understand that within existence, it has its own condition, Dhamma, its own reality. There is such thing as duty, such thing as relationship, such thing as old age, sickness and death, such thing as law of karma. All these exist. That's why when you come, when your nature manifests as a form and mind to come to this existential world, then it has its own reality. You have to understand that to live life within the existential world. But like the Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, all those that is thought doesn't exist. So empty nature here means not only empty of everything. It's not empty like nothingness. There are things, but not real. They are empty in the sense that empty nature of existence. You understand that sentence. Existence is empty. No reality one. But if you want to give it meaning, reality, through the thought process, the memory, there is a lot, anasana. But that pertains to the condition world. That's why duality exists within the condition world. The condition Dhamma exists within the condition world. You can cultivate the condition Dhamma to liberate and free and realize the unconditioned. That's why the Buddha said, if it's not because of the existence of the unconditioned, which is Nibbana, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. And now you realize, conditioned world is all condition arising cause of phenomena. How can you free? That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the conditioned world. You must realize the unconditioned. That is the meaning. So here, when you talk about emptiness, the first explanation is, just now what I explained to you is the deeper one. Understand or not? Everything, all phenomena has the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. That's why it's not real, not what you think. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why, he know you, he know me. Then, empty nature of existence. But the first, most crude and easy to understand thing that Kuan Yin told Sariputta is, he said, form does not differ from emptiness. And emptiness does not differ from form. So how can you reconcile this? Now I ask you another question. Before this form arise, what was this space within? Nothing, is it? Empty, is it? Of course, the scientists want to argue, got air, got what? Not important, understand? What is important is before this arise, because it's dependent originating, it was just space, empty space. Understand? Then you introduce the form. You put this form in. Then you only perceive form, but you don't perceive what was before the form. Understand? That's why you cannot see why Kuan Yin say form does not differ from the original space, which is empty. Emptiness. That emptiness does not differ from the form that has taken over its space. Understand or not? Our perception is all like that. Externally, all these external forms, there is no word. Understand or not? This chair doesn't know that he is a chair. Understand or not? Or you call it 椅子, or gorosi. This one, no word, nothing one. Understand or not? But how do we perceive it? We go through memory. Understand or not? Then we give it a label. We label it. Then we give it a concept. Then it arises, really, exists already. Then through the what they call relative convention of our society, we keep on giving it name. Different language give different word and different name. That's why the world argue a lot. Understand? You say in English, this is what chair? Armchair or whatever. Then another guy with another language, they will tell you something else. So all these are subject to the way they perceive it and the way they name it. They can use different words. But everything points toward the same entity, isn't it? True or not? This one actually got no word. That's why the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. No whatever name or label. When you see things as they are, this is suchness, direct seeing as it is, without the word, without the concept. This is the direct seeing. So Kuan Yin, he used that nature when he insight into phenomena, he realized there is nothing inside there. Understand? Zhao jian wu yun jie kong. But these five aggregate of form and mind, like the Buddha came to realize underneath the Bodhi tree when he became enlightened, he realized that they do not belong to him. Why? Because the form goes the way of nature. Then feeling, what is feeling? Feeling come and go. He didn't die. Understand not? Then feeling is dependent originating, condition arising. Cause without the senses, without the consciousness, without contact, feeling cannot arise. You understand? That's why they are dependent originating. Then if feeling is you, if feeling change from pleasant to unpleasant, did you die? You didn't die, eh? So how can feeling be you? And since they come and go, it does not belong to you, it's not you, then it has the universal characteristics of impermanent following nature's law. Where it's dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it's like that. Then perception also same. It needs the senses and the consciousness through memory and the brain it perceives. Perception come and go. This moment you perceive that, next moment you perceive the other thing. If perception is you, you should die when the perception changes. But you didn't die. Then all your sankhara activity, your emotion, your whatever feeling, sensation, emotion, they come and they go, you didn't die. So how can they be you? Then consciousness arises and passes away. Seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought. Same. Then when you realize this is your inner awareness nature, you suddenly awaken. All these aggregates, they come and they go. That's why it's empty nature or existence. It doesn't belong to you, understand that? But the question is, if it doesn't belong to you, it's not you, then why did they arise in you? Have you ever contemplated that? If it's not you, why did it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? And this is meditation. This is what the wisdom of the Buddha and Kuan Yin and all those great beings has. So from here, you should zero in and awaken. If they are not you, that's why the Buddha in the first Noble Truth final summary, what did he say? In short, it is due to your sakkarity that condition you to grasp at these five aggregates of form and mind, which is rupang, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vinyanang, that I call dukkha. If you know that they are empty, they are impermanent, then why you grasp and cling and want things your way and suffer? That is really bodo. The word is bodo. Stupid. That's why you don't blame Mahayana for changing the word. Sakkayaditti. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Stupidity, they say. Stupidity. They use the word stupidity. A lot of people get very offended. But really, like, it can be realized. Stupid. Everything is not real, and yet, you think that feeling belongs to you. You want good feeling. You attach to good feeling. That's why you suffer, understand now? You want beautiful perception, nice perception as well. Those that you don't like, you push away. But in the first place, who created all this like and dislike? All this way of perception? It's your brain, understand? Your conditioning, your belief system. So when you see with the awareness that this is the magician creating all this to lure you, to distract you, and to delude you, then you wake up, understand not? Well, I live in an existential world. There are what they call the aggregates arising and passing away. There is a phenomenal world of consciousness and form. There is the mundane mind. The moment I awaken and realize this, then I got no problem with that. I know how to return. Then I realize there is an awareness nature within, which is the deathless element, and never die. But that one is not a being. That one cannot come out and live life. Then my mystery is resolved. Understand? That's why the Buddha got no more problem with always sickness and death. Because the form and mind is not him. That's how he awakened. Understand? That's why when Kuan Yin realized this, he realized the empty nature of existence. So he tried to guide Sariputta to go in. Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is actually empty. That is the empty nature of existence. Understand? You understand? So the meaning is very clear. Nothing abstract about the Heart Sutta. But people cannot understand. He said, what type of teaching is it? Emptiness is emptiness. Form is form. How can form does not differ from emptiness? Emptiness does not differ. So they become very confused. You know why? They use the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the instrument that is limited. You cannot penetrate. That's why you cannot understand. So clear. Okay. With this, we continue. Sadhu. 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 Okay, the rest, I think you read through, you understand already. Because when he told Sariputta, he said, all Dhamma are empty of characteristic. Because under the third paragraph. Why? Because in true emptiness, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. Means they are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. No eye, all the senses, the sense basis, the five aggregate, and the consciousness that accompany the sense basis. All this does not exist. Then they even continue, no field of I up to no field of my consciousness, means the 18th sense rhyme, and no ignorant or ending of ignorant, up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of old age, sickness and death. And then there is no suffering, cause of arising of suffering, extinction of suffering or cessation of suffering, and the path that lead to the cessation. So all this within true emptiness does not exist. And people who don't understand, they thought Mahayana teaching contradict the Buddha's Theravada teaching. Sakyamuni teach the Four Noble Truths. No? He said all the Four Noble Truths also don't exist. No? But he never read the word in true emptiness. And this is penetrative understanding where Bodhisattva only cultivate. The sainthood way didn't really cultivate to that extent. That's why most Theravada tradition, they cannot penetrate the Heart Sutta and they don't go in because they have doubt that the Heart Sutta is really the teaching from Sakyamuni Buddha. We are not recorded in their Theravada Tipitaka, understand? So you cannot blame them. It's just like I give the analogy. You go to primary school, you study arithmetic. They don't call it mathematics. What do you study? Addition, subtraction, division, multiplication. Then you go to form 1, form 2, form 3. It's maybe slightly more. Now they teach more. But when you reach form 4, form 5, you do additional maths. Then you realize, got differential equation, got calculus. Then you go form 6, higher maths, further maths. You got a lot more things. Then you go to the university, like we are engineer, we study finite element, Fourier series. All those math never heard before. So you go and ask a primary school student, he say, hey, arithmetic or maths got a lot more thing one, not just this one. They say, cannot be like my teacher teach me only this. And I say, then you go to the secondary school, maybe up to form 3, you tell them about ad maths or something, he say, you cheese, you know. He say, my teacher never teach me all this. What he know is limited to what he learned, understand? So, Theravada tradition, the Buddha in the Mahayana teaching, like what we went through, the Lotus Sutta, is explained clearly. The Theravada teaching is the provisional teaching. Means, the skillful means to introduce the teaching to attract the living being so that they develop the interest. Then when they reach the sainthood way, then they can develop further interest to go the Bodhisattva way, to cultivate to perfection. If immediately before they even learn the sainthood way, you tell them got such way, takes so long, everybody walk out, I tell you. Nobody is interested. He said, what I want is immediate enlightenment, freedom from suffering. You tell me to cultivate until aeons and aeons and aeons. Nobody will want to do that. So the provisional teaching and the ultimate one vehicle teaching are very different. That's how the teaching comes to be. So without that understanding, it's not easy. That's why if you want to explain the Theravada tradition teaching, if you have not developed the true understanding of the Mahayana teaching, you cannot explain to them. It appears so contradictory. You know? The two teachings, like chanting, the pure land one, also can become enlightened. No need to cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, no need to cultivate all the Theravada tradition. traditions, essential Dhamma. Because they look at it without deep understanding. But when you understand, like what I explained inside later on, you will go through. They chant with the faith, understand? Sada, faith, develop the virya. When virya arise, they chant until the awareness and the chanting become one, they develop sati, understand? After sati, stabilize, day in, day out, they chant. Then they invoke the power of affinity and merits from this great being. Because you have faith in them. You create affinity. So what happens is, they chant until the sati stabilize, they enter samadhi. With sati and samadhi, everything they do, the sutta they read, the chanting and all those things, the meaning appear. The meaning become clearer and clearer. Because the spiritual faculty develop the panya, the wisdom. Then they can have that mind that realize that nature. That's why they will go in. Then they know what this thing is. Then their vow transform. Before you realize all this awareness-based cultivation to go into that nature, you can never comprehend all this. That's why the Buddha in the Theravada teaching, he said, strengthen this five until it become power, balas. Then only it become unshakable, no more doubt. Then you will go all out in your cultivation. Okay? So, we will let Manuel continue. I need to rest my throat.
1.3. The five khanda, or aggregates of form and mind, two aspects to it. First aspect, as a human being, where the rupa form is the physical form or body. Then the second aspect, as the five mental aggregates, where the mental rupa forms are external forms brought into mind by the aggregate of mental perception or sanya. Perception or sanya is translated as connection by the Venerable Master Xuan Hua in his book, The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. Vedana, sanya and sankara are contents of consciousness. Sankara is mental formation, mental activities, mental states, mental intention, mental planning, scheming, etc., which is everything that the mind can do, including feeling and perception. Consciousness or vinana, receptacle or the container. Six sense doors, ear is ear, eye, ear, nose, tongue or bodily tactile and mind doors. Part 2, meditation and important essential
Dhamma.
Before
that, I want to ask those who are new, the two aspects of the five aggregates of mind, do you understand? You can understand them very good. Otherwise, I will explain it. Singhua, you understand? You don't understand? Okay, very easy. Now I can go faster. You see, as a human being, you assume you got no understanding, no knowledge. Then you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say every living being is a five aggregate of form and mind? He defined it so that you can understand who are you, what are you. And you can understand clearly how you function as a human being or as a living being. So he said, the easiest way is to ask yourself, who are you? What are you? So very easy. Huh? I draw like that, you will understand. Huh? Okay? So this one is what the human being is all about. Yeah? Human being, for our case. So, the first one is the physical form, okay? Then let's say this one is the consciousness trapped inside. Eh? Consciousness or mind trapped inside. which is initially we tend to recognize it as the mundane mind. Then this one is the physical body. Physical body. So this physical body is what the Buddha called the form aggregate or rupa. Then he said, to understand the mind, he subdivides into four more aggregates. To understand this, very easy. What can your mind do? Huh? It can feel, it can perceive that. So the other aggregate is feeling. That's why he subdivided into feeling, then perception. Then what else can your mind do? Yeah? What else can your mind do? Ah, think a lot, isn't it? Become emotional, isn't it? Yeah? Then input the content of consciousness, isn't it? Which is your mental intention, yeah? Your whatever planning, scheming, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So all this is what Sankara is. Means all your content of consciousness or thinking or mental intention and everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is also Sankara. But he separate feeling and perception because he need to use these two to teach a lot of essential Dhamma. That's why in the summary of his universal characteristic, he always says, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. You realize or not? Then Sabbe Sankara Dukkang. Then Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. But he never say, Sabbe Vedana Sanya Sankara Vinyanang Anicchang. He never. He only repeat one by one. Vedana Anicchang. Vedana Anatta. So what he did is, Sankara is everything your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So this one is, the whole thing is content of consciousness. So this content is like there is a receptacle, understand not? You remember last time I told you we are spacious awareness. Because we have this spacious awareness nature. So from this spacious awareness nature, when you want to perceive something or know something through the mundane mind, we shrink. We shrink this fellow into a small space. So when you shrink this spacious awareness nature into a small space, it becomes like a container, understand? Within this space, then you input the content of consciousness. This one is through memory. Which is your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. Including your fear, phobia, insecurity, etc. All your accumulated memory. So this becomes the content that goes in. And this receptacle, external one, is the shrunken consciousness. So this receptacle This one is called Vinyanang. What, one N or two N, maybe?
Double N.
Double N, So this last one is consciousness, the pure consciousness or vijnanam. Huh? Two N then one N? Oh, okay. So this one also same, huh? Okay. So now you understand, this content of consciousness that go in are feeling, perception, and sankhara. Then this one become a thought. After the content of consciousness go in, this one become a thought. And this is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form. This is the first aspect as a human being, understand not? The mind, the Buddha subdivided into feeling, perception, aggregate of mind and consciousness, which is this fellow. But within here, the mind has only four aggregates. How does the form enter the mind? Because this one don't have a physical form, understand? But how do you know the external form? Through what? Memory, which is perception as well. You perceive it through memory. So this is the one, the sanya aggregate, brings the external form into the mind. Into mind. So this is the rupa, the mental form. So this mental form enters the mind. Mental form. So this is what we call the second aspect. Five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. So this is how you understand it. And this one, at the mental level, the second aspect is what the Buddha wants you to understand. This one is in the paticca samuppada, how your mind functions as a human being. Then when you understand them this way, then you can really develop the Dhamma investigation to find out whether all these five aggregates is real or not. Whether it's you, a permanent unchanging entity or not. That's how the teaching become clear, the understanding become very clear. Without mindfulness, without awareness, without this understanding, you cannot. You try to ask Jay Krishnamurti, he will not teach you like that. He cannot explain it like that. He will tell you what he knows, that's it. He said, this one is not real. That's all. Finish. Yeah. Because he don't have a structure to teach. But he has a lot of wisdom. He went into that nature. He know what that nature is. That's why he can share with you a lot of very peculiar understanding that is unique to him. You can say all those saying that he share as teaching is his unique understanding or I won't call it unique code, it is unique teaching, anasana. So for those who have the understanding and the realization, they understand all this very easily and very clearly. But Ingbi, yes.
Brother, just to stress the second aspect of fight against the form and mind, which Brother said is very important. It's what the Buddha tried to teach us. So I just want to quote this example that Sister Cindy and myself just now, when after paying respect at the Verochana Buddha, Ta Shung Pao Tien there, we came out with to wear our slipper, our shoes lah. Then we heard very clear sound of kring kring like that. So at first we were hearing very loudly. So it's just a direct hearing. But very fast our friend said, huh? I see her expression, I know the focusing already string to the spot, the small spot. How come ice cream man here? So this is the I just want to make it very clear to you and to all of us, especially
Sadhu.
Didn't come to me just now.
So that she can develop the understanding of it. Because when you have the awareness and the sati, you perceive it differently. You see, because there is a pure perception without the words. So without the words, you know how the working of the mundane mind is. Because of all this memory, then you input the content and you create the thought. That's why Krishnamurti say, thought is limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, which is the oneness, it shrinks to this one. So this is what Engbi perceived and realized, that this is what is happening. And that movement from memory, memory, which is the content of consciousness, go in very fast. But when you are aware, it don't shrink. You can, with the awareness, clarity. Because no word, nothing. It is that thing as it is. But you want to know, you can know. Understand? You want to understand, you can understand. Because we live in a conditioned world. We cannot deny that. That's why all these teachings, they exist within the conditioned world. But when you go to that nature, you realize they are all not real, empty, not what you think. The difficult part about the teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is you must approach it from both aspect of understanding, the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. You must develop the wisdom and awakening of both. Otherwise, you cannot understand life. You cannot live life. You cannot become, like the Buddha said, an enlightened being. Because the enlightened being is very noble in all aspects of understanding, both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. So nowadays, I teach more and zero in more on the understanding of both the conditioned and the unconditioned. In the past, I cannot, because people are not ready, understand? Even to explain all this take a while. But now, many can understand. That's why we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good.
Just to clear the curiosity, the kring kring actually is the sound of the chime.
Thank you. Sadhu. That's why the mundane memory was straight away. Ice cream guy selling ice cream. Because they have already used the memory to perceive, understand? But in the hearing is just that consciousness, no word, nothing. Then that thing will revibrate in your nature, one with it. The awareness and the vibration is one. Then she will know one. The moment he saw the expression, zoom, already zero in, understand? The consciousness shrink, the memory went in already. So for those who have the stability of awareness, they can see things as they are. That's why after 1989, when I look at something, no word, nothing, one. I can just observe. Then I realize, How come everything is like that? The pristine beauty and wonder of nature. Everything is so pristine. No? Because to me, it's new. Everything I see with clarity. Like for you all, this one is what? Microphone, isn't it? Did you really see? Your memory, microphone, enough lah. What is there to know? What is there to see? But the direct seeing, he will see without the word one. Then he can see everything. It can be a very old microphone. He don't have that concept and idea. He sees the pristine beauty and wonders of that thing for what it is. Even very decayed building or tree or day tree or what. Last time I like to contemplate and perceive. I see the beauty of it. Even foul thing or what. There is no like duality like, oh, you're smelly or whatever. You live in the world, of course, there is the convention that people say the drain is very foul. That's why when I talk to Ben, I also use the conventional reality. Yeah, he very smelly. Yeah, he is a person with hygiene and he don't like this type of smell. But for me, condition like that, things will be like that. Because you pass by there, and so you will smell. And so then you got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Or go and do all the funny thing, or just understand and move. Understand? You need to move away so that that thing doesn't really become that bad smell. But you will not have aversion on. You know you can avoid, you avoid. But the reality is, as long as you are within that range, the senses can detect and perceive, then it's up to that individual with the understanding or without the understanding to react. Understand? When you react with like and dislike, means you are trapped in the world of duality. Then all this got power over you. But if you have the Dhamma, you accept the reality and just move, you will laugh, you will smile. Because I tested it in 1989 after I transformed. I walk to SS2 Pasar Malam. As I walk, I pass by the Waisekai where the drain at that time also quite smelly. Then the moment, the first instant of that sense reached my nose, I smile. I smile, I don't react. Then I continue to walk. Then when I reach the other street at the other end where all the stores were there with all the good food, the aroma, I smell it, anasana. Although I know it's good food. But I do not attach or cling. Because this is the reality. And I know if I have the means I want to buy, I can buy. If I want to taste it, I want to try it, I can. I have a choice, anasana. But I won't be affected by what happened. So when you transform, you become like that. The form and mind got no power over you. It cannot deceive and delude you and create all the funny, hideous thinking or entanglement and attachment anymore. The realization free you. Then upon contact, feeling remain as pure feeling. There is no craving. There is no grasping, clinging or desire, must have, must buy. You don't. Got condition? You want to buy? You can afford? You buy. That's why I always say, if you have the means, when you retire or when you reach a stage of life where you can have that, what they call, means, pamper yourself a bit, understand? Don't worry about what people say, whoa, enlightened, you cannot eat good food, you pass to me like I eat. Why you want to think like that? Oh, enlightened, cannot have attachment, simple life. This one cannot, that one cannot. You're trying to live like an enlightened being, no, that one. Because the enlightened being don't live like that one. So they understand one. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition, right? Not what you think. But when you can realize the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, the fruit of your hard work or cultivation to become an enlightened being, then you can live that phase of life, understand? And the phase of light can be very beautiful and very real. Since 1989 until now, I have been living that phase, which is so beautiful, so meaningful, so wonderful. That's why in the Heart Sutta, I say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. And this is all really what it is. There is such thing as life, existence. It has its own reality, even though form and mind not you. But there is such thing as life. And you must know, within the conditioned world, there is a law of karma. There is right duty you must perform. That's why the Buddha, under the salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, he said, this Sangha got four very unique characteristics. Yeah. He said, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, of good conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Buddha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then after that, the next one is what? Yeah? Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, of upright conduct, is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then third one is Nyayapatipanno, of wise conduct, is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. The last one is what? Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka, of right conduct, of dutiful conduct. He do his duty. Yeah? He live in the existential world. He know there is a right duty towards the law of karma, spiritual law of mind, and law of truth, Dhamma. You cannot violate them. So this is the understanding. Conditioned Dhamma and unconditioned Dhamma, two different. But when you have both, you can live life. If you don't have both, you will attach, you will cling, you will suffer. That's why you have the mundane aspect of life and the supramundane aspect. Although, with the form and mind within the conditioned world and the existential world, your mundane mind can collapse. And you can realize the supramundane mind, and that one can live. Understand? Not? That's why in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. And that is for living within the conditioned world. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think enough. We go to the sharing. Huh? You want to ask something, Singwa? Yeah. Yes. Pass the mic.
Thank you so much for your very, very kind explanation. You explained it so simply, I mean, not simply, but I mean with so much of clarity. Yeah. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, I'm not to the level of understanding.
Never mind. At least you can start to pick it up and appreciate what this thing is.
Yeah, so much depth in it.
Yeah. And it's related to life.
Yeah.
Every living being who gone through life can understand. Because this is nothing exoteric or anything like very, need a lot of what they call very deep, special understanding to understand. Like very mystical. No, nothing. A normal people who has understanding of life, you really investigate, all I said can be proven. Can be investigated and developed as understanding. That's why you find it useful, but you are not ready because this is the first time you're listening to it. Despite the fact that you have known me very long, I think in Singapore you are one of the pioneers or the first to know me, but you don't know what I really teach at the retreat. And you all didn't have the condition to listen to my sharing and receive the books and all the things. Luckily, Beng Fi, somehow the time already, like ripe already for Singaporean to understand. And this is also the first retreat where Singaporean, quite a number of them, including Po Cheng, I think, five of them. Aline supposed to join, but the husband got some issue with health problem. So because of that, I'm glad that the newly joined Singaporean Kanemita after they know what I share and how I teach, they decide to come. And because of that, you get to know the Malaysian Kayamita. Otherwise, you heard about their name, you don't know who they are. So now, at least, you all can become good Kayamitas. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Your question? Any other question?
So my question is, do we really, do we really have to fully understand?
Never mind, never mind. It's a very simple answer to what you ask. I ask you a question. If you say you have a problem, then you want to solve your problem, and you gotta be go and see a monk or somebody supposed to know, he said, you do vipassana, your problem will be gone. You believe or not? Because you don't even want to find out what your problem is, understand? Then how can you work towards it? When the Buddha said, in short, the final summary is, due to your sakkayaditti that condition you to grasp at this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha, to investigate and prove that the Buddha's teaching is the truth, stand up to investigate, what must you do? First thing is, I must ask, what is the five aggregate of form and mind, understand not? Otherwise, how can I put it to test? That's why you know your question is already because you are being gullible, and to you it's like normal cultivator, you know, the Dhamma knowledge. You know. Ayo, Abhidhamma so difficult, need to know, need to understand. Of course, when it comes to Abhidhamma, I say, very good, no need to know. Understand? But when it comes to this very basic one, if you don't even know what is the five aggregate or format, how can you put to test? If you attach to physical form, now we put to test, because you know already the first aspect. Do you suffer? If you believe this is you, do you suffer?
If I believe this is me,
do you suffer?
Obviously.
Definitely. You worry about it? Getting old, getting sick, getting injured and die. Understand? No? That's why attachment to this form, thinking that it's you, you will be like what the Buddha went through. He saw the first three signs. He left the palace. He seek an answer to old age, sickness and death, even injury. So, very clear that you attach to feeling, do you suffer? You want pleasant feeling, you don't want unpleasant feeling. You realize the teaching is true. You attach to what you perceive, you suffer. You attach to all your sankhara, views, opinion, conditioning, mind state, phobia, everything, you suffer, understand? Where you call the unhappy past and the memory, the scars of memory, all the what they call child abuse or whatever past that has actually created phobia in you. That you attach to consciousness. When you become conscious of something, if it's pleasant, you attach. Unpleasant, you reject. Of course, you suffer. Then you always cling on to the good thing in life. All the aggregates that you perceive through your senses, the feeling, the emotion, and the experience that you experience through your consciousness. It's just like observing a movie. Understand? Because you cannot see that it's actually a thought projection. It's actually a movie. Like the analogy I give in the last book. If you have read it, it's just like a white screen. But when the movie, when they shine on it with the color and the sound, that it like very real, understand? You can be absorbed in, understand? But when the show ends, what happened? It's a blank screen, understand? Nothing inside there. But these are conditions arising, movies, understand? And it can entice you, lure you, and create the perception of excitement in you. And you can even pay for it. And really to waste time sitting there 2-3 hours to watch that movie. You see the power of consciousness and the power of all these conditions arising. That's why our conditioned world, our present civilization, there are so many AI product or new product that can lure the living being to buy. Your purchasing power. People may complain, ayo, everything is expensive to eat, to survive, to have all the roof over your head. It's cost so much. But when it comes to handphone, huh, 5,000, 3,000, 7,000, they just buy. So what is happening? This is what that lure you. But don't get me wrong. Huh? You can afford by all means. Huh? You cannot afford, don't go and make yourself miserable. Away. Yeah. Like I told my daughter, he want the latest, what, Surface, Surface Pro. Cost her almost 8,000 something. I said, you want, you buy, because we can afford. And this is helping out in the recording. Now the speed very fast. That's why when you come with the means, you don't have to rely on others for support. Yeah? All your donation to Kahimita Fund is not for me. Except when it's on the anniversary, the gathering of Kahimita, they want to use the Kahimita Fund to buy something to offer me. That one, they use that fund. Apart from that, I don't need. Even they offer, I tell them, I already have everything. And they got problem thinking of what to give to me. I said, never mind. Your heart is more important. If you have the heart, that is enough. Because the Dhamma that can go in is more precious than whatever you all offer. But you must also understand, this is an existential world. Whatever you all do will have its impact on the Kahimita Fund. So all those who contribute to the Kahimita Fund will receive the benefit. That's why in that sense, I say, I don't mind. If there is condition, I will accept the offering. Yeah. That's why everything is based on understanding. When you understand, you do with wisdom. When you don't understand, you do out of greed. Understand? You have people say, hey, that teacher, that monk or what, wow, enlightened already. You offer, is equal to offering a few thousand of this first stage of sainthood, second. If you like that, go and compare and make your decision. Too bad. Like what Bodhidharma told the emperor. The emperor said, I contributed so much donation to build all the temple, do all the translation, feed the monk, support the sangha. How much merit has I accumulated? Bodhidharma replied, zero. Is it? None. Wow, the emperor dare not react, no, because kiasu. So, but inside very unhappy. Then after many years, after Bodhidharma no more, he met another Zen master who understand, and he relate that thing to the Zen master. The Zen master say, what Bodhidharma told you is the truth. Well, he's an enlightened being, understand? Yeah. You ask him, how much merit have you got? To him, merit is pure merit, understand or not? Your merit is out of greed for the merit, means tinted merit, understand or not? Not the real merit. That's why he told the emperor, zero. So when you understand, really, if you go after tinted merit, where you hurt, then you become gullible, understand or not? Yeah. All those Kahimita that met me before my website come out, before I become a bit well known now, they are the true one that really have the affinity and such. Then the rest that come later also have affinity because you know how to screen and you know how to listen. But there are so many of them in the internet, understand? And why you choose this and not the others? Yeah. Even for Singhua, it's because of past causes and conditions, you got some affinity, but you also got some understanding, karmic obstruction block that cannot understand all this so fast. But don't worry, understand? If you don't ask, you won't learn. You ask, I explain, then you learn, understand? So whatever you want to do, always check with understanding. Means You meditate with understanding so that you don't become gullible. Just listen, follow. We are very popular. Everybody do that. Everybody believe that is the real one. And I have to advise you one thing. Whatever that is popularly accepted by the mass is always the wrong one. Understand? Because the stock market psychology is the best. When euphoric already, everybody think the market never drop already. That is the time it will drop. And I got a classmate who shared this theory very good. He said, our stock market, very funny one, it will move in the direction that will catch the most investor on. You understand? Most investor will make mistake on. When the market crash until nobody dare to buy and touch, suddenly it reverse. Understand? Everybody say chop finger already, don't want to touch already. But when the market come back, euphoric that time, the finger also grow back already. Again, they go and do the same thing. Why? Greed and fear. So, without understanding, you can get into all this entanglement. What I'm trying to share with you is, these are past karmic things. So, if you want to overcome all this, can ask for forgiveness, then from now onward, develop the new understanding to cultivate with understanding. Whatever you don't understand, let things be. Don't comment, don't do anything. Sincerely find out, cultivate. The moment you understand, you move very fast. Understand? If you become gullible, it will stagnate you. Because you follow the crowd. You are not sure. So that is how most cultivators of the way cannot really develop the understanding of the teaching. The other problem is thought-based approach. When you approach it from the thought, you can never realize the understanding that is beyond thought. So now what you all need to understand is stabilize your inner awareness. And once that sati or that awareness nature stabilized, you will learn by yourself. You will understand by yourself. Technically, you don't need a teacher. Okay? Most important thing is a spiritual faculty. Have faith. Then develop them. Then when you do the real awareness-based meditation, you will transform. You become different. Okay?
Thanks a lot, Brother Teo. I just want to say, just not for dinner, right? Sister Song actually, how shall I say, Dana us, right?
The Tao Fu Fa.
So I really rejoice in that. Thank you.
Sadhu.
Thank you.
Okay. Continue. Manya.
Part 2. Meditation and Important Essential Dharma. 2.1. The five mental hindrances that hinder the mind from becoming peaceful and aware within are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To counter it, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. 2.2. The opposite five spiritual faculties are sadda, faith, viriya, spiritual zeal, sati, mindfulness, samadhi, collectedness, and unwavering mind, and panya, wisdom. 2.3.
This one we have covered, no need to explain already. Continue.
2.3. Five daily reflections or contemplations leading to initial wisdom.
Okay, this one also no need to read. We have gone through. You go back and read yourself. Then we move on to the next page, lesson 2.
Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson, 1.1. The 10 perfections or paramita of the Theravada tradition. Dana, giving or generosity. Sila, morality. Nikama, renunciation. Panya, wisdom. Viriya, spiritual zeal or strong tenacity, energy to cultivate. Kanti, patience. Sacca, truthfulness. Atitana, aspiration or resolution, self-determination. Metta, loving-kindness. Upekkha, equanimity. These are the 10 perfections that the Bodhisattva who is intent to be a Sammasambuddha must cultivate and perfect. 1.2. the six perfections or paramitas of the Mahayana tradition, dana, giving or generosity, sila, precepts or morality, kanti, patience, virya, vigor or spiritual zeal,
dayan, samadhi.
Samadhi.
Is the Sanskrit word and Pali word. Then prajna is wisdom. Okay. So the Mahayana shorten it to six paramita perfection because they normally just do these six, which is enough. Then words of wisdom by the Buddha. Okay, this one you can read. Then you all pay attention while I go to the washroom. I need to go. You continue to read. Because this one is all the thing that I've been teaching. So no need to explain already.
1.3. Words of wisdom by the Buddha, extracted from the Dhammapada verses on avoiding all evil, do good and purify the mind while having the right view with regards to the law of karma. Verse 1. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked or unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof of the ox. Verse 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure or wholesome mind, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. Verse 183. All evils have to be avoided. Cultivate whatever good when there are conditions and purify the mind. This is advice of all Buddhas. Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23 on heedfulness, Appamadavagga. Verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Verse 22. Distinctively understanding this difference, the wise intend on heedfulness and rejoice in the realm of Aryas or the enlightened ones. Verse 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful and the steadfast one realizes the born-free Nibbana. 1.4. Buddha's advice before his pari-nibbana. Appamadena sambadeda. Strive on with heedfulness. Note. The heedful never die, internal life spiritually. The heedless are as if dead spiritually. No chance of gaining enlightenment. 1.5. Final summary of the first noble truth of dukkha. In short, it is the attachment or grasping and clinging to the five grasping aggregates, or upadana khanda, of form and mind, via one's delusion or ignorance, that I call dukkha. The word dukkha, or Sanskrit dukkha, is one of those Pali terms that cannot be translated adequately into English by one word, for no English word covers the same ground as dukkha in Bali. Suffering, ill will, anguish, unsatisfactoriness are some favorite renderings. The words pain, misery, sorrow, conflict, and so forth are also used. The word dukkha, however, includes all that and more than that. Reference page 37 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Piyadasi Thera. 1.6. The seven factors of enlightenment or sati or bojangga. Sati or mindfulness is the first of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the investigation of dhamma or dhamma vichaya, which is the second factor of enlightenment. Without sati, one cannot be heedful or ever mindful. Hence, one cannot investigate the Dhamma. That is the reason why sati or heedfulness is very important. For sati is life because heedless are as if dead. With sati, one can investigate the Dhamma, and if it is the truth, Then this Dharma will stand up to investigation, thereby giving us the strong faith in the Buddha. The virya, or the spiritual zeal, which is the third enlightenment factor, will arise, thereby enabling one to cultivate the Dharma according to the Buddha's advice. Sati will then stabilize, and piti, or the spiritual joy, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. Once piti is stabilized and becomes more refined, it will accumulate into pasati, or tranquility.
It will accumulate into pasati, not accumulate, accumulate.
It will accumulate into pasati, or tranquility of mind,
yeah,
which is the fifth factor of enlightenment. With pasati becoming more and more stable, the mind will accumulate into samadhi, a stable, collected, and unwavering mind, which is the sixth enlightenment factor. With sati and samadhi in place, wisdom and panya, or panya, will keep on arising, giving rise to the last or seventh enlightenment factor, which is equanimity or upekkha. Note, samadhi is a stable, collected, and unwavering mind that does not waver at the moment of sense experiences while in the midst of life. 1.7. The three universal characteristics. 1. Anicca, impermanence. 2. Dukkha, suffering. And 3. Anatta, non-self and empty nature, or not a permanent, unchanging entity. 1.8. The five universal laws or orders, pancha niyamas, that govern all of life and existence in this universe are: first two are scientific laws of utu niyama, or the physical law of nature, and bija niyama, or the biological order of nature. Next three are spiritual laws of nature of karma niyama, or the law of karma, citta niyama, or the law of mind, and dhamma niyama, or the law of truth, dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Understanding these three spiritual laws that govern all of our life and existence will give rise to the three important right views as taught by the Buddha in his Noble Eightfold Path, or i.e. right view with regards to the 1. Law of karma, i.e. you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, and do evil begets evil. And you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, etc. 2. Law of the mind, i.e. the 12 links, dependent origination, or paticca samuppada. 3. Law of the Dhamma, i.e. the four noble truths, five aggregates of form and mind, the five spiritual faculties, etc. Understanding these three great spiritual laws is likened to understanding the secret of life, giving rise to the wisdom to enable one to truly live life. Having these right views will lead to the understanding of non-delusion, non-attachment, non-grasping, and non-clinging, etc., freeing and liberating mind from all suffering. This can also be explained by the four aspects of Dhamma, nature as taught by Ajahn Buddha Dasa. 1. First aspect, there is nature. Second aspect, there are laws that govern nature. Third aspect, there is a right duty that one must perform towards these laws that govern nature. Fourth aspect, reaping the fruit of one's hard work after having performed that right duty. 1.9. The three evil roots, or three poisons of greed, hatred, and delusion are loba, which includes all of your greed, selfishness, lust, cravings, covetousness, desire,
deceitfulness, yeah,
cunningness, etc. 2. Dosa, which includes all of your hatred, anger, aversion, envy, jealousies, dislike, negative emotions, sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. And 3, moha, which is self-delusion or sakkayaditti, that conditions one's egoic mind to arise the 3 evil roots of lobha, dosa, and moha, leading to all the egoic personality of selfishness, craving, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. They are the roots of all evils. If you have them in your mind or consciousness, then it will condition and cause you to become a very evil person. So it is very important to develop the training of the mind via meditation to be always heedful, so that we can be aware of our mental intentions all the time. And if there is any of the three evil roots, then we should arise the appropriate right effort to either abandon it or prevent it from arising. Otherwise, it will condition us into negativity, leading to all the suffering. As they are also called the 3 poisons, they will kill us spiritually if we allow them to stay in our mind. 1.10, seeing beyond form and understanding Nibbana. To develop basic wisdom, one must have the ability to see form as they are, and the unreality of form via its condition arising, its impermanence, suffering, and non-self empty nature, leading to our ability to see beyond form. Inability to see beyond form will result in form delusion, because one will grasp at external forms via one's own delusion caused by identification with external forms, thinking that they are all real. As form divides, so once we identify via identification with, let's say, our external form, which is the physical body, then one will create the attachment to this body via delusion, hence worrying about it getting old, falling sick, and dying. It can also create duality of male and female gender, race, identification, young and old, or age identification, etc., leading to all the unnecessary fear, worries, anxieties, possibility of conflict and arguments caused by external form identification and division. Unless you have the ability to see beyond form, chances are you will not be able to see mind, because mind is much subtler and intangible than the solid external forms. And unless you can see mind, the mundane mind, as it is, via the silent mind in sati, true wisdom cannot arise. For Nibbana is cessation of form and mind. So learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then learn to see beyond form, leading to your ability to see the mundane mind clearly. This can then lead to the realization of the impermanence and empty nature of the mundane or thinking mind, leading to the ability to see beyond the mundane mind via the silent mind, to realize one true nature, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. At the mundane mind level, one still clings on to one's views and opinions and religious labels, etc., hence the division again. At mind level, leading to all the conflicts and argument caused by one's delusion as before. Note, words divide via form and thought identifications due to sakkayaditti and ignorance. Hence, only if one can see things as they are, i.e. via the direct seeing without words, concepts and labeling, etc., only then there is no more form and thought delusion to condition one's grasping and clinging, leading to all the suffering. That is, if you cannot see form and the unreality of form, then you will not be able to see beyond form. And everything you come to perceive via your mundane mind, which is consciousness only, will be like so real and so meaningful to you, hence the self-delusion or sakkayaditti. Also, Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 said, mind is the forerunner of things, and mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind, so one must be wary of mind. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 2, 2.1, Definitions. Thus have I heard implies suchness or thusness of things, or tathagata. The Buddha is also called the Tathagata, meaning he is the Tathagata who is an expert in tathagata or suchness. The Buddha understands truth as it is because truth is the isness of things or suchness while accepting what is. 2.2 Important quotations from Sixth Patriarch Huineng's Platform Sutra. Introduction. One day, while delivering firewood to a store, Huineng heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutra and had an awakening when he heard the stanza, "The mind must have no dwelling." He immediately inquires about the sutra and decides to seek out the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, at his monastery on Huangmei Mountain. Huineng then embarks on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrives at Huangmei Mountain, where the fifth patriarch was residing. From the first chapter of the main canon version of the Platform Sutra, the fifth patriarch asked me, "Who are you and what do you seek?" I replied, "Your disciple is a commoner from Xinzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood." "So, you are from Lingnan, a southerner and a barbarian. How can you expect to become a Buddha?" asked the fifth patriarch. I replied, "Although people exist as northerners and southerners, in the Buddha nature, there is neither north nor south. A barbarian differs from your holiness physically, but what difference is there in our Buddha nature?" Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, immediately asked him to do chores in the rice mill. Huineng chops firewood and pounds rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. Number 3, becoming the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hong Ren announced, "The question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourselves from this bitter sea of life and death, you seem to go after tainted merits only, i.e. merits which will cause rebirth. Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek prajna, wisdom, in your own mind, and then write me a stanza, gatha, about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dharma, the ultimate teaching of the Chan school, and I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it, and he cannot lose sight of it, even when engaged in battle."
Okay, I will explain a bit. This paragraph by Master Hong Ren is very profound, very beautiful. So he said the question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Means as long as you don't have the enlightenment, you cannot be free from birth and death. You cannot transcend birth and death. That's why samsara is like unending, eternity. So this question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. He said, day after day, instead of trying to liberate or free yourself from the bitter sea of life and death, kuhai, the Mahayana in Mandarin, they say the bitter sea of birth and death, you seem to prefer to go after tainted merit only. There is merit which will continue to cause rebirth. So this is the understanding that you must understand. As long as your focus is only on merits, you cannot free. you cannot develop the enlightenment and liberation. So this is what Dindamari is. So the fifth Baitia Hongzhen mentioned, yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. What is your essence of mind? Yeah? By now you should know that. Your true mind, your pure awareness nature, obscure by what? Defilement and your heedless thinking, understand? Without defilement, heedless thinking would arise, understand? So this is what the enlightened being who has the understanding will tell you. The merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. So, Sister Song, this is for you, understand? Look, my tandem, cook for the monk, everything, until you got not enough rest. Doesn't mean that it's not good, but these are only merits, tinted merit, cannot liberate your mind. You must develop wisdom. I think what Jayanta want you to do is to develop more understanding. And being a son and a mom, both of you love each other, you all should develop more understanding between you all, so that your communication can be really meaningful. So out of love for you, Jayanta want you to attend Anasana. But you at the same time, out of love for Jayanta, you also want him not to worry about you, understand? That's why you hinted to me if I can help talk to Dr. J so that he can develop the understanding. I said, no problem. But I want to make use of this because it's in the teaching, understand? So that you have enough rest and spend more time developing the cultivation and make full use of what merits or goodness that you have cultivated together with your son, where you are mother and son because of affinity from the past. Like you say, how you from a more or less Christian background become a Buddhist, also because of your son, Dr. J. So all this has its causes and conditions. Maybe it's time for you to understand all this. So hopefully this statement by the fifth patriarch can help you. Yet merits, tinted merits, will be of no use if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek prajna, wisdom, and so on. That's why you need the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature to realize the wisdom, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. Then go and seek prajna or wisdom in your own mind, means your true mind, and then write me a stanza or gatha about it. He who understands, listen to this, what the essence of mind is, will be given the patriarchship, the insignia and the patriarchship, and the dharma of the ultimate teaching of the Zen school. And I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly, delay not in writing the stanza, as liberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The next paragraph, listen attentively. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once. What does it mean? No need memory, no need to refer anything. Direct from the true mind, the silent mind, that nature it arises. Understand? This is the real one. So, the man means any practitioner who had realized the essence of mind, the true mind, or the awareness nature, can speak of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it. And he cannot lose sight of it. Means what? This wisdom he cannot forget one. Well, it is connected to your nature. You awaken to it. No need to commit to memory. No need to remember. That's why when I teach and share, I don't need to refer to note one. I just explain to you there and then. So this one is very true. So this will give you the faith and the understanding. And he used a very very severe analogy, you know. He cannot lose sight of it even when engaged in battle, life and death. He cannot lose sight of it. He cannot like doubt or fear or whatnot. Never. Okay? Yeah. So I heard the alarm. So I think we stop here. We stop here so that we can continue tomorrow. So tomorrow we will take our 8 precepts first. So according to the program, you wake up at 5:45, they will be doing their chanting down there, and clean up and get ready. 6:15, we have our morning puja, followed by simple morning mindfulness, calm stretching exercise to bring along the pair of 1 or 2 kg hand exercise weight. You have your water bottle also you can bring. Then after that, 6:45 to 7:15, we will have a 30 minutes of formal sitting meditation, followed by 15 minutes of meditation Q&A, or 15 minutes break for those who are doing their morning duties. Then 7:30 to 8:30, as usual, is our breakfast. Then after that, 8:30 to 9 o'clock, morning chanting and reflection. Then after that, 9 to 10, we have the formal meditation, formal sitting and walking meditation, or lying down meditation, followed by 15 minutes of daily mindfulness training. We are standing and contemplation, bowing, etc. as before. So this mindfulness training, I have to explain a bit. You can either do your normal walking meditation, but walking meditation, please, don't go and do that. The one using the thought one, verbalizing one, standing, intending to walk, then lifting. Forget about it. All this verbalization will make you more and more thought-based. No need. Like the Buddha said, standing aware, walking aware, just walk. Walk until body and mind become one. And then you will know what sati is. Then no need to like they are. Towards the end already you want to turn. Standing. Turning. Then you continue. You do that one, I wish you luck. Because that is what is being taught, I know, traditionally by certain tradition. But if that thing is useful to them, let them do. What you want to understand is you do something that you understand. Follow the instruction. The Buddha says, standing aware. Yeah, aware means your awareness and your body is one. Then walking aware. Walking means body and mind and awareness move as one. Initially, it's not in harmony or synchrony, but you just walk. Walk until the body and mind become one, then you will understand. You will slow down on your own one. No need to walk slow. Normal walking, because when you live life, you are in the normal pace. Understand now? If you go to office, everything you slow down, sitting, seeing, your boss will give you a love letter. Understand now? Then writing. You think they will employ you? Cannot. You can have mindfulness even when you are working, doing things at your normal pace, no problem. So what you need to train here is whatever you do, aware. The pace will adjust by itself depending on the individual. Then you will reach a pace where the body and mind is in harmony. And then you will know what sati is. Or you do bowing. Namo bun si si jiang mo ni fo, you bow. Then with mindfulness, you recite with faith and you bow. Even the chanting, recite with faith and bow. the sati will come. When the sati come, your verbalization, Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo, also stop. Then that thing become like normal, automatic. Then when your mind enters sati, you will know. Then everything you do is in sati. When you come out of the bowing, then you realize all your bending, stretching, everything, there is awareness of it. Yeah. Then after that, you want to slow your movement. Because when you develop it initially, it's not stable. So you slow it, it can stabilize. Then after you are good, then it becomes faster and faster. Then no need to worry about slow or fast. When you are in sati, everything you do is in sati. All your seeing is in sati, specific phenomenal awareness. All your hearing, smell, taste, tactile, everything is in sati. So tonight the rain very heavy, for you all to have a good sleep. So maybe after a tired day, have a good rest. Okay? Then you can also, apart from walking and bowing, contemplate somewhere conducive. If it's raining, move within the temple area. If it's not raining, then you can walk within the vicinity of the temple. And I promised to take you all up, but I didn't have the time. So see how it goes. Tomorrow, if we have time, we will go up. So at least I show it to the new people. Okay? So with that, I think we can end. We can do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then, do you all want to do any chanting or not? We can ask Ingbi to help us to chant some Theravada Sutta. Maybe the Karaniya Metta Sutta, because it's raining. Okay. The other last announcement is they have suggested that the dinner be changed to 6 o'clock because their afternoon, what they call chanting, end at 5:30. So Fajan Sufu has to rush. So in order not to rush, I told Tenseng Sufu we will shift. So we will stop at 6 o'clock so that we can go down and have our dinner. But after dinner, instead of the usual half an hour or 45 minutes rest, I cut short to 15 minutes. I hope you all don't mind. Those on duty, maybe you have to do things a bit faster so that we can save back the time. Okay? Now, we can do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we can end. You open up your chanting book. Those following Zoom, Sui were on the thing. So we have our what we call what page is it? 12 and 13. Okay, page 12 and 13. Oh no, that one is Karaniya Metta Sutta. Okay, you chant first, then we share merit. Okay.
Namo Tassa, three times first. Namo Tassa Bhagavato. Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Karaniya Matta Kusalena Yantang santang padang abhisamecca sakko ujuca sujuca suvaco casamudu anadimani santu sakoca subharoca apakiccoca sallahugavutti santindriyoca nipakoca apagabbo kulesu ananugitto naca kuddam samacare kinci yena vinyo pare upavadeyum sukino va khemino hontu sabbe sattha bhavantu sukitattha ye keci pana bhutatthi tasavatavaravanavasesa digava ye mahantava majjimarasakanukathula dithava yeva additha ye ca dure vasanti avidure bhutava sambhavesiva sabbe sattha bhavantu sukitattha na paro parang nikubbeta nāti manyeta katta cinaṃ kañci vyārosanā patiga sannyā nānya manyassa dukkha micceya mātā yathā niyaṃ puttaṃ ayusā eka putta manurākhe evaṃ pisabba bhūtesu manasaṃ bhāvaye aparimānaṃ mettaṃ ca sabba lokasmiṃ manasaṃ bhāvaye aparimānaṃ uddhaṃ adho ca tiriyaṃ ca asaṃ bhādaṃ averaṃ asaphatthaṃ tithaṃ caraṃ nisinno va sayāno va yāvatas Savigatamiddho etam satiṃ aditheya brahmametam viharam idamāhu dittinca anupagamma silava dasanena sampanno Kamesu vineya gedam nahi jatu gabbaseyam punareti ti etena sacca vacena sotite hotu sabbada etena sacca vacena sabbarogo vinasatu etena sacca vacena hotu te jaya mangalam sadhu
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now turn to page 15. We do our usual closing puja. We cut short a bit because we don't chant the full version. We just chant the first para, then we move on to Ita Wata Chamehi. Then again, we straight away go to Idang Menya Tinang Hotu. Okay. Let us share merits with all beings, starting with the Devas. Akka Satta Cha Bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anuoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Loka Sasana Eta Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anuodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo wasatu kalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Fito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. So, see you all tomorrow. Those who want to join the chanting, you have to wake up earlier. Then get ready by 5:45, I think they will start. They start quite early. Oh, 5:30, according to Alicia. But normally they prepare themselves at 5:30. Then when the abbot Tang Jia comes down, it will be about maybe 5:40, rather, I remember. About 5:40. Anyway, if you want to experience, you can go and try. Otherwise, you can wake up 5:45, half an hour to get ready, then be here before 6:15. Thank you.
Hello. Okay, before you leave, make sure you fold everything, put it nicely in line, just like before you come in, and leave the walk path in the middle empty, so that tomorrow morning, early morning, Tang Jia will come in and pay respect here, so that the walk path is clear for him. And before we leave, shall we pay our respect to our teacher, Brother Teo? Okay, 1, 2, bow. Bow. Well.